Should I acknowledge the press cred? Might as well.
Oh, yeah.
Or should we wait till it's closer? What do you think? Like, because one of the things I want to start doing is pretending like I'm going to stalk Nathan Baird and DeFabo and of course, Brian.
Yeah.
Just going to be like, guys, can we do a selfie together? Guys, can I sit between the two of you?
The problem with that
can
is.
Can I get the first donut? Can I get the first bear claw?
You think, yeah, you got to go way over the top, I think, to get the idea early, right? That it's not like legitimately you admiring them, because there are some people in the
blogosphere. Yeah. Those guys get it.
Especially Brian and Baird.
Brian always, like, yeah, Brian, anytime anything comes up, he always refers to getting a restraining order against us. He said the same thing a number of times.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. If, yeah.
And now at Powerford on the Media Row. Madison Square Garden, Jay Money.
For at least one game.
Yeah. Do they announce it? I figure they announce all the media at the tournament.
Yeah.
It's some big introduction.
Tear off your breakaways and run in on your laptop.
Bunch of chubby dudes with short shorts come on the court. Awesome.
That's good halftime entertainment.
Oh, it is. Man. They're going to run around for a Frisbee, just one. They'll be like, somebody will toss it up, and then they'll be like... They will be the health nut in the bunch.
You know the
guys that balance
on each other at halftime. I'd like to see Jay Money and let's select Nathan Baird for this joke.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I'd like to see you guys balance on each other at halftime.
I'm telling you, Jay's gonna win in strength. He's gonna win in his lungs. He's gonna have this whole thing on lock.
Oh,
he's
gonna, compared to a media type, I'm like a decathlete.
That's what I'm saying. You're Adonis.
You know, I just fell down. I blacked out, fell down, and when I woke up, it's a pool of blood on the floor. Pretty sure my nose is broken, but
all of that occurred away from the action. And Gene Katie just a little upset with what's happened so far.
Robinson around Ostertag, over him.
Turn around, knocking it down again is Jawan Johnson, 3 for 3 from the field.
Welcome to. The niche, is it the handsome takeover of the basketball beat?
Yes, it is. It's a very handsome.
There's the niche. Subsets. And there's Boiler Dowd.
Hi, I'm Boiler Dowd.
And it's Jay. And Anish, welcome back to the side of the glass this week.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
But watch it. Don't get too comfortable.
Yeah, no. I understand. It's right here. The glass is right here. You know,
we can put you behind it anytime.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Exactly. So... It is, what has it been, 2 weeks since we were talking and not joking about Final Fours and national titles? And where were the best place to watch the Final Four if Purdue was in? I think that was 2 weeks ago, right? Yeah. It feels like about 3 years ago. Purdue has gone 1-3 since then. So right about in that February midseason, mid-February form.
You know, and Delaney,
seems like an eternity ago.
You know, Delaney has moved the season, up a couple weeks, the end of the season. So the calendar, you can't look on the calendar. You got to look on
Matt
the
Painter. Didn't fool Matt Painter.
That's
he was
that's
ready. Was. He was ready. He was adjusted. He adjusted his calendar. Of swimming.
Things we complain about him not adjusting. He did that. That's good for him.
Yeah. That's not totally fair. And in fact, what I'm doing is
no, it's not. But these jokes don't stop for anybody.
No, they don't. That's right. No,
you know, these jokes are here.
Anish, when I've only got like 3 or 4 arrows in the quiver, you gotta fire them. You gotta use.
You gotta unload them. I understand.
Gotta use them every year. I bring them out. It's like a calendar. You just bring it out and use it and say, oh, there's I remember that. We used that last year, but we'll use it again now. Mm-hmm. Well, so Purdue is now 9th in the AP poll, right? And and if seeding holds to the rankings, that means they're on the precipice of a 3 now.
Mm-hmm. I would be pretty surprised if Purdue ended up on the 3 line. But yeah, no, that's what that means. Purdue is, in fact, that's what, that's how the seeding works. Yes. When there are 4 teams per seed, and then
you—that's like did you learn that at MIT? Was that like a postgrad?
Yeah,
we didn't do division in. Yeah,
They're holding a Sloan Sports Analytics conference, and this week at MIT. So, you know, this is the Bald Sports analytics desk talking. So
did you confirm that? Did the analytics desk confirm?
It checks out. Ninth seeded team would be the first three seed. So yay, the number one three seed.
I would be surprised if Purdue ended up a three. I think
season's not over yet, Anish.
Even if Purdue wins out, the one is out pretty much, but nobody seems to want that last number.
I don't know about that. Right? If they win out, you mean including the Big Ten tournament?
Let's say.
I think a one's in play if they do that.
I don't.
No, did you guys? It's different this year because the Big Ten tournament's over 4 months before the Selection Sunday. So the question is, will they forget about the Big Ten?
The Big Ten final has not mattered. It has not mattered because it's so close to bracket time. It's already figured out. I actually think that scenario where Purdue were to run the table right now, that would help them because they were getting so much respect. They still are. I posted a ESPN article today to Twitter that says Purdue is one of the 12 teams that has a legitimate chance to win the national title. Yeah, and that was an article today. Whether you think that's true or not, they're still being viewed with respect. And they were last week still a one seed when they were ranked sixth in the country after two losses, those two tough losses. So if you're getting that level of respect and then you win these last couple games and then you win three games in a Big Ten tournament, probably beating at least one, you're gonna face Ohio State, Michigan State, or Michigan somewhere in there if you were to do that, or more than one of them. Then I think you're back in contention. You're a high two, and I think you have potential to be a one.
Number 16, Michigan would be in that group. That's the funny thing. Michigan is now getting a ton of respect, which is pretty wild.
I think everyone's looking at what we all looked at like a week ago. I feel like we were all saying they're a good team. That's like a tournament ready kind of team.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Michigan is waking up to that.
Yeah. Michigan's that six seed that's going to just light it up or that has the potential to light it up in March. And so I don't really, I don't know how much
they just beat Ohio State. They're hitting their stride at the right time.
Is Ohio State great? That's the thing. Every single team this year, you look at the top, Villanova went on that. I think they lost two out of three, I think, or did they lose two straight at one point? I'm just looking at, the rankings right now. Virginia is really the only team that hasn't had one of those losing streaks. Michigan State, they haven't had a losing streak, but they don't really have any wins.
They lost two games in a row.
Xavier
lost two out of three. They won it. They lost.
They lost two out of three. I think they're another team that lost.
That was the thing. When they lost, they got just annihilated.
And then we get into Xavier, who might have the best shot at the next seed. But is that even true? Because they just got pummeled.
I don't think they do. I think the bias of the human part of the polls will come into play here, and it's going to be Duke or Kansas. I just kind of feel like that we're on a collision course with that, right? Because the polls are pushing them up. The computer polls are kind of starting to push them, edge them up there. And we know the love affair that the committee has with Kansas and Duke. It just seems like that's going to happen, right? It's going to be Michigan State, Kansas or Duke, Virginia. That just is what it feels like.
Kansas is back up on that two line now, aren't they?
I know.
Kansas is up on the two line. I'm looking at Gary Parrish, who does the top 25 and one ranking every day. So right now he's got Virginia, Michigan State, Nova, and Xavier as the top four. And then the two line, if we're just going by his, would be Texas Tech, Duke, Kansas, and Purdue. And then you get into Gonzaga and North Carolina, and those teams aren't, Gonzaga's right fine this they're year, but they're not great.
No.
And so this is as weird of a year for college basketball, which we, during that 2 weeks ago, right before the Michigan State, Ohio State week, when Purdue was starting to falter a little bit and we were, it was 1 week after we were really asking the national championship stuff. It was who's great this year. Why does this year feel different? With like in college basketball, it's just like it. I don't know if you told me that four teams that weren't in the top eight that I just named, top 10 with Gonzaga and North Carolina made the final four. I'd say, yeah, sure. I mean, if you told me like Wichita State, Ohio State, Michigan, and Tennessee or West Virginia made the Final Four, I'd say, yeah. I mean, like, that's probably about right. And they're all outside the top 10. It's just a bizarre year.
I just can't see a world in which none of those teams that are loaded up with
blue NBA chips, players.
NBA players, don't get in there, right? Because Wichita State this year does not have two NBA players like they have in previous years. Tennessee has one, maybe, right?
Kansas doesn't. You know what I mean?
Right. They've got one? Duke has two or three, I'd say.
Duke has.
Michigan State has three or four.
Michigan State has like two and a half. Yeah, sure.
Right.
And two and a half. I mean, two. Michigan State, to be fair, has two lottery picks next year, you know. But that's about it. You know, Nova actually has two NBA players right now. Mm-hmm.
And the problem that we have by saying all these things, I want you guys to think about something. See if I'm out of line saying this, because I saw I don't know if it was ESPN or FS1. It was on the background, the restaurant I was eating at tonight. And it said the Pac-12 will only send three teams. And then a minute later, it said the Big Ten will only send four teams. And I'm like, I don't see that as accurate, because somebody's got to fill the bracket. And it's the same thing as saying, okay, there's only one pro on this team and only one pro on this team. Well, somebody's going to go, right? Somebody's going to get picked in the NBA. It's not going to be all, you know, white Slavic guys.
No,
same thing, right?
But the top of the draft, it's going to be a lot.
Dakota Mathias. Oh, wait. Yeah, exactly.
Number one for his consistent play. Absolutely.
Wow.
Man. A lot of the teams that have top level talent are bad. You know, if you look at NBA draft lists or Michael Porter's injured, right? I mean, like, Oklahoma's that's bad. Six, somehow they continue to be ranked.
By the way, I look like Nostradamus. Remember we talked about Oklahoma either last week or the week before. Do you remember that conversation? And I just said, they're not very good. And you guys were like, well, look at the record. But I watched them play. I could not believe how bad they were when I watched them play. And it's really proven out. They are just skidding, right? I mean, I know everybody's figured out Trey Young. And then on top of that, the rest of the guys, if they don't have a double or triple team on him, they can't do anything. It's like having a bunch of guys like Justin Jennings and, you know, Purdue players from that Big Ten championship team a long time ago who can't score outside of 6 feet. You know, it's pretty wild watching them. It's pretty horrible. And similarly, it's pretty horrible watching our Boilers right now on offense.
It's bad. I don't know. So we haven't bought. I feel like why does it feel like the Wisconsin game was like a year and a half ago?
It feels like it was in a little wrinkle in time. Like,
right.
It really does.
Did that really happen?
It happened.
I think we were all out that night or something. I know I was, and I looked at the schedule, the score, and I'm like, oh, they're scuffling along. They're up four. They're up six. They're doing their thing, right? And then, oh, look at that.
They were up by double digits, I think, versus Wisconsin as well. So something to put your head around, okay? Maryland, which they played poorly, and Maryland came back on them. They were up by either 10 or 12, and then they watched that lead shrink, right? The Ohio State game, they were up by 14 with 10 minutes left.
Yep.
They lost that game in regulation. Michigan State, I think they're up by 7 to 10 points with about 10 minutes left.
Yep.
They watched that shrink, lost in regulation. Wisconsin.
Rutgers game, they were up.
Rutgers, exactly. Yes.
Down to like two or one, in fact.
I think the Wisconsin game, though, I don't think it got, this is not to absolve them of anything because it was pathetic, but I don't think the lead got to anything over, I think, like 7 points or something like that.
I will check while you guys talk.
So Wisconsin, and then the Penn State game, they did it again.
Yeah.
But those two games, again, maybe it's just different universes, but like Purdue's best all around player, regardless of his play for the last 2 weeks, we should say post flu, I guess, but, you know, Vince Edwards was surprisingly out, which was crazy. And Penn State seems to be a tourney team. You know, they'll probably end up on the bubble, and because the Big Ten doesn't have enough teams, they'll probably end up on the right side of it. But, you know, Penn State was, and they have been hot at the end of the season, like towards the end of the season, Tony Carr has been, pushing for Big Ten player, a late push for Big Ten player of the year. And yeah. in the second half, Nojel Eastern kind of locked him up, which
the
was
the thing that kills me about watching Carr and the kid from Rutgers. I cannot remember his name ever. And don't tell me, because it's more fun this way. Okay. They play the same game, right? It, to me, it looks like a game that's born in the NBA or something, because they isolate so often, right? They spread out and they just have one guy go to work. And maybe if he gets double or triple team, he kicks it out to another guy, and Penn State makes you pay at that point, because they've got two other guys who can bomb, at least one that just, I don't know, what is he shooting, 40-45% from three, number 33? He's awfully good too. And then they have the center who looks like he's older than Jay and I, and pretty respectable.
Yeah,
I like Watkins, because he borrowed his mustache from an R&B singer in like 1986.
He's really good. He's got his chin mustache combo.
It's great. It's really strong.
But those seem like Penn State win, at least I can feel okay about, right? Because Purdue was suddenly without Vince Edwards. Carson looked great. It was a closer than needed win, but it seemed like Mathias and Ryan Klein woke up from their month long slumber. Carson was a superstar. It was awesome to see. Nojel was phenomenal. The Wisconsin game is one, though, that I will go into the tournament still thinking of. That was and Dowd's post game, the quick cast about, like, right after that game was fierce, because it was like, how does this team, which looked legitimately like a national title favorite, mm-hmm. not even a month ago. Not even 3 weeks ago, they looked like a national title favorite. How does that team go to Wisconsin and play like that after losing two close games to top 15 teams? I don't get it.
I almost would have expected that loss at Wisconsin had Purdue won.
Exactly.
Ohio State and Michigan State games, because that is more of a Purdue staple. And any good team has that sort of letdown against a team that, is pretty good at home traditionally. And it would have been so much more. We could have explained that away, right? If they'd beaten Ohio State and Michigan State and then lost that game, would have been frustrating, but you would have said, well, they were due. There's something, they were going to lay an egg at some point. And then they came back.
I'll take or. Right. If they would have won one of those games, last second game, I could have said, fine, there was 19 straight wins.
The bounces did go their way.
Yeah, exactly. And then, they went one of two on a great week, on a tough week. And then, they're tired and whatever, the Delaney schedule excuse. But they came off of 4 days of rest.
Yeah.
Vince hadn't hurt his ankle yet. Everybody was healthy, and it was just flat. It was awful.
Were 53 points. They shot 23.5% from three.
Didn't Wisconsin shoot 19% from three?
Yes.
Wisconsin shot 19. Yes, 4.1. Well, that's an old school Wisconsin. That's a 1997 Big Ten game right there. 57-53. Good Lord, that's awful. The only guy who made any threes was Carson on Purdue. Everyone else missed everything. And you were talking a little bit ago about how Penn State that description of the Penn State win may make me feel a little better, but immediately afterwards, I did not feel much better.
No, and I understand that, because they looked.
You made points there. Vincent didn't play, and that can't be understated. That's a big deal that he didn't play. Yeah. And some of these guys seem to come back to life, like Mathias. PJ, however, still didn't. And
PJ has been off.
What is going on? He was the most reliable. He was like your clutch shot guy. He was the guy.
He can't shoot anything, and now he won't even take the shot in many situations, which is really hard to swallow.
Well, it's a confidence thing.
Yes.
Now I think it's affected him. Most shooters know you just keep shooting. And now you're right. It looks like he is actually shaken because nothing's working. And I think he's got something like 3 points in the last four games with like three zeros, something crazy like that.
Worse than that, he's not even dishing out assists. Remember, there's at one point.
And he's turning the ball over.
Yeah. Early in this season and early last season, he looked like a machine, right? His assist to turnover ratio was incredible. And he always comes down to earth a little bit when he gets into the Big Ten season. That's what he's done. But he's so far off and so far away from the guy he was, so far off the pace. He just, he does not look, I said this and we all joked about it. I think off the air when we talked about, you know, somebody suggesting that PJ Thompson shouldn't be starting. Well, now Nojel Eastern has earned the start, especially if you assess the teams that they're about to play. If you say, okay, they're going to play a team with a big guard, big athletic guard, point guard, then you bring it, you start Nojel Eastern just to put defensive pressure on him. I mean, maybe it'll wake PJ Thompson up. This is one of those things from a psychological standpoint. You can't say, oh, you don't want to ruin something that's good because it's already been ruined, right? They've already lost all their rhythm. So it's okay now to say, let's try Eastern as a starter. Let's see if it gives the team a little shot in the arm and see if it gets Thompson back to where he can be. He can't fall any further than where he is. The only way he'd far further is if he doesn't dress for the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the last four games. So Ohio State, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Penn State, PJ has 3 points, has made one three pointer. He's two assists, two. And the turnovers are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Wow.
And before that, he had one turnover in seven games. So he was PJ there. I mean, the last game, again, the game against Rutgers, where I was, the game I was at, he was, 2 of 4 from 3, 6 of 7 from the line, and he had 12 points.
As a record, yeah,
good game.
That was
four assists, but anyway.
And then you left your poison on him, and then
I watched the first game of the 19 game win streak and the last game of it.
I wonder how many people that aren't staff did that. I bet that's, you can count them on one hand.
Well, because
if you're not staff or family, you didn't do that.
Well, and how many people were at the Rutgers game?
Just that one period is enough, right?
So after the Michigan game, that 92-88, you know, it looked like a heavyweight battle, right?
Yeah.
And Purdue made 11 three-pointers. I think Michigan made something like 12. Like, it was incredible. Maybe one of the handful of best games of the year. Since then.
Maybe one of the best games I've ever seen.
It was
ever.
Awesome.
Period. It was so much fun.
It was amazing. It was Painter and Beeline legitimately going toe-to-toe. Like, Painter's defense against Beeline's offense. They are two great coaches with great teams going at it. It was amazing. Since then, 32% three-point shooting.
Man.
Just awful. Just awful.
That's what I shoot, by the way. That's
open. Wide open.
Yes. At LA Fitness in the morning.
Exactly.
With no one in.
That's seven games.
Raindrop!
That's seven games. That's 3.5 weeks. That's almost a month's worth of games.
Oh yeah. It's not an anomaly. That's
anomaly. It's not a llama either.
It's not a llama. It's not a llama eating.
No.
Not a llama eating or drinking.
Maybe drinking. I don't know. Like,
screw you.
But the Penn State
llama.
You look at that, and then you look at their overall three-point shooting, which is 41.7% on the season, and you can see how astronomically they were still shooting, coming up to that stretch, right? So I don't know.
Let me ask you guys a question, just a personal opinion question. On a scale from 1 to 10, how likely is Purdue to play one more game where the offense looks like a juggernaut? One more.
Oh, on a scale of 1 to 10?
1 to 10. 10 being, of course, absolutely, they're going to play another game like that. They're going to look like they have every other game since.
It's a solid 7.5. I think
that's confident.
Well, you said one. If you would have said two, I would be a lot more, I'd be a lot.
I think this is like wildfire. I think if they play one, I think they'll play two. I think they'll play three. I think they'll play six and win the national championship. What?
Yeah.
What? Did I just get back to there that quickly?
Said that.
You were back.
Said that.
Exactly.
Against Illinois, who, they have a lot of losses.
There was a guy tonight. Oh, my gosh. I have to just share this on Twitter. A So Jay Williams said something about that game, about Michigan State and Illinois. I don't know what he said. And, of course, anybody public like that who says something gets hateful replies. And some guy wrote back, and then Jay Will retweeted it, so that's why I saw it. And he said he was an Illinois fan, and he said something like, he's like, dude, we, you know, have you even watched Illinois? How many games have you been close, and the offense just hasn't come through? And he said, I got to find the quote, because he said something like, we have a top five defensive scheme in the country.
That's awesome.
And I said, like, but wait, what's a top five defensive scheme? You're not saying a top five defense. He was careful with his words, right? We have a top five defensive scheme, which Anish is like saying, Anish, you have a top 10 good idea.
Thanks, man.
Right?
Like it's like IU saying that they have the number one NCAA March Madness team of all time.
Exactly. It can't ever be argued, right? You can't argue because it doesn't make any sense. It's like, your opinion, top five scheme. If we ever ranked
scheme, hey, be down. I gotta tell you, of all the bald people I know, you have the best head of hair.
You have top five hair.
Top five hair. Exactly. That's more like it, right?
Right. Where you're like,
I love the bald people. You have top five hair.
I like Brad Underwood, but wow, this roster is like this is a hodgepodge of humans. Wow.
Exactly. It's and they play hard for him, I think.
Yeah, oh sure, but they're just not very good.
Can you guys explain something to me? I heard this, and maybe I misunderstood something. Illinois plays Purdue at Illinois on Thursday, but they had senior night last game.
They had senior
They had seniors. They were honored. Is that because they're like, well, Purdue's not going to be a fun night? Let's make this a joyous one. And I think they lost to Rutgers anyway, so that didn't work out very well.
It would have been Nebraska. Yeah, something like that.
They lost still, right? They lost.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Yeah. They haven't.
I'm almost positive they said they honored. We have one senior on the roster. I thought they said, and they honored him.
Not much of a senior night anyway.
But still, I mean, that's like, you know, the Marcus Green senior night. At least they waited to senior night.
Don't you dare.
I know, but it was Marcus one senior Green. And Marcus Green.
Don't you dare.
That was any guy. All the pink roll nice wore green.
Yep, that was neat. That was neat.
I still have that shirt. It was neat.
The paint crew, we get it.
I got it. Hey, you guys are old.
Do you guys know I went to Purdue?
Name drop. You were in the. Aren't you in the big the promo video? Before
yes,
the
game? I am in the promo video with my buddy, who were screaming at a ref. So that's pretty good.
That's good. That's awesome. Right? Do you know which ref you were screaming at?
I don't. No, I should probably look at it. Yes. There is a. Man, if I had to put favorites on TV Teddy, I think that would be it. I'm almost positive it's TV Teddy.
By the way, just to jump back in here, I just looked up on Illinois on the fightingillini.com. No, they have Thursday listed as senior night. Help us honor our seniors in the last game at State Farm Center. So
good. Because I was really, I swear, maybe ESPN just had somebody stupid talking, which that'd be surprising, right? Because they're the same company that hired Dan Dockett. So you would think that they would just be consistent and hire just all smart people.
Very, very intelligent.
Super
people.
Smart. Yeah.
So can we look for a second? In Illinois' schedule, I know we make fun of Illinois because these jokes, again, don't stop.
Just write themselves. Yeah,
exactly. So 6 days ago, so I think that was the 14th, they played Indiana. The 15th, they played Indiana. So that that was Thursday.
Yeah, that's a tough week.
On Sunday, they played at Indiana on Thursday. On Sunday, they played at home versus Nebraska. Today, which is Tuesday, they played at Michigan State. Thursday, they play at home versus Purdue. Sunday, they play at Rutgers.
Man,
are you kidding me?
Didn't they have Ohio State not long ago either? I thought like just before this stretch, they had Ohio. Let me look.
That was several games ago.
Okay, a few games ago, yeah.
But like
that's a tough stretch.
You know, in 7, 8, 9, 10 days. That's insane.
If it wasn't for that stretch, they'd probably be in the top third of the conference.
They would have won the Big Ten.
They would have won the national championship, probably.
They would have won the national championship of defensive scheming.
That's right.
I'll give it.
Boy, are we going to be sad when we come back and this podcast is after Purdue's lost to Illinois.
Right? Oh, who plays five games in 10 days? That is so dumb. Yeah. That's like borderline.
Remember, ESPN did a whole thing about North Carolina having to play three games in 5 days a few weeks ago. And everybody was like, but all three were in the triangle. In the, you know what I mean? Like down in
they had to travel.
Like Duke, a home game. NC State, and then another home game. I was like, whoop-de-doo.
These are alternating home and away.
Yeah, that's
basically
hard.
Every other day at Indiana, home versus Nebraska, at Michigan State, home versus Purdue, at Rutgers. Those aren't even close.
No,
Indiana, Michigan State, and Rutgers are the three.
Well, Rutgers isn't close to anybody but Maryland. So,
and the heart of basketball.
That's right. That's right.
The heart of Big Ten basketball.
They're hosting the Big Ten tournament.
New York City.
You know, but these are things you have to do when you're not a premier conference.
Well, and they beat
like the Big East.
Oh, yeah.
You know, these are things that you just.
You play your tournament with the Sun Belt and team programs like that.
That's what you do when you're a secondary conference. Jim Delaney had no other choice.
He had no alternatives. He had to find a place to have the tournament. Yep. Well, we talked about this though. Also, for like a year, we've been saying how stupid this was. But in the end, especially if Purdue's offense doesn't come back to life in the next week and a half, it's going to be like okay. Because to your same point about PJ Thompson, how much further could he fall? If the offense looks like this through the Big Ten tournament,
it's not like they're going to lose rhythm. Right?
Not going to get worse. So maybe 2 weeks off is good. And then it's like a new season, guys. You know what? These teams play really well in November. So just tell them.
It's November.
Hypnotist in, say the season is starting. We're going on a. It's going to be fun. It's going to be like, remember how we went to the Bahamas last year, guys?
Bad example.
Yeah, bad example. No. After Bahamas.
Going to Mohican Sun or maybe to Puerto Rico, something like that.
Right. We're going, but it's going to be in Detroit.
Exactly. You know?
That's fine. Just pretend.
I want Nashville more than Detroit. Have I told you guys that?
Yeah.
I want that Nashville.
This is so dumb. The schedule is so dumb. Everything about the schedule is so dumb. Everything about it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it'll be fine for Purdue. I actually don't think it'll matter. I would have been worried.
You sound like Jay and I, but usually ours is a little different. It's like, yeah. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's going to be the same ending.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. I know how it's going to end. I've seen it before. I've been all my ticket stubs, my movie theater.
So one question that did pop up this last week was Purdue ever good? Purdue at, was I, the 19 was a, game?
And I was like, I got pissy at first, and I was like,
No, these are two completely different looking teams.
Yes, they are.
Like this Purdue team looks like nothing during the 19 game stretch. If this was just regressing to the mean and maybe some of the shots that were going for them weren't, like, that'd be fine. But it's like it's a dead offense. Nobody's moving.
People can minimize this and a few have. I don't think it's any deeper than they're tired. Those are your choices here. They're either tired because they've been playing since July or your other option here is that Matt Painter's teams wilt down the stretch. Those are your two options.
I don't know if it's physical, but I think it is mental fatigue of playing since then.
And the win streak that wears you out.
The win streak.
Good thing. There's a break coming in a couple weeks and for like all spring and summer. There's a long break after the Big Ten tournament. Sorry, I said the wrong thing. I don't know.
They've got to walk back from New York City.
That's right.
They'll have time.
They can take bikes. And there's been some nice spring weather in the Midwest. So
it's going to be 72 in New Jersey tomorrow.
Yeah, it is. It was hot here today. It doesn't make any sense. I was sweating. I went on a walk, not just because I'm fat, but I was sweating because it was actually like warm. It was 73 degrees here today. It was really, really crazy.
By the way, if you walked from West Lafayette to New York City, it would take 250 hours.
Did you just look that up?
I just did. Yes, Google Maps. Thank you. Google Maps.
Somebody tweeted at us earlier today, and I haven't looked at the little random scenario generator. Not random, but Somebody said something like IU and Purdue Friday night at the Garden is happening. You realize that, right? And I was like, oh gosh,
That's the opening, right? Purdue is clinched the double bye.
No, he said Friday, which would be that's the assuming they win to get
that's
to
the second.
Yes, Purdue has the double bye. I think with that, I don't know if that's 100% clinched, but it should be pretty close.
I think it's clinched. I think it's
no, clinched. But Friday the double bye would mean that Friday is their first game because then it'd be Friday, Saturday, and then the championship. So, yeah. So Purdue's first game would be Indiana. Oh, great. Good. Good.
Nice. Yeah. Really great.
I actually don't mind that so much other than the fact that it's Indiana. You know what
it's
I mean?
Indiana. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, if it was Illinois and they were playing it, but it's Indiana and they would love nothing more than to just put another dagger into Purdue's season.
Yeah. I know. But hey, you got to play the teams that are in front of you and a team, you know, but you never know. A team like they may not make it. Don't they have to win? What would they have to win? Just one game, I guess, because they're not going to have to win two. They're better than that.
No, Indiana's making it. Yeah, Indiana's going to make it.
Make what? The big tournament?
No. The Big Ten. I thought you were talking about the Big Ten.
I know they're going to make the Big Ten tournament. I know that.
The big one? Nah, they're kind of on the bubble, actually. The bubble kind of risks. The bubble is like Penn State, Indiana, Maryland, oddly enough,
and Nebraska. Nebraska's
Nebraska,
not
and Nebraska. Nebraska. Yeah. See, Nebraska, I think it's really you've got the top four in the conference. They should be by record, but you look at their quality wins. They don't have them.
They have the same record as Michigan.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Look at the quality wins. Yeah. And they keep talking about this quadrant thing. It's really important this year, the way they're setting it up. Oh, if that's the truth, there's no way. They've got to beat somebody.
The quadrant thing is dumb as well.
It's very dumb.
Yeah. At least use some formula that's better than what they're using. It's awful. But anyway, I think Indiana has a shot at making the tournament, and they need one more signature win. And so which is why I would rather avoid that team in the Big Ten tournament, especially with Purdue looking like this. I will take a Penn State rematch. That would be nice. Or a Maryland rematch. Again, that would be.
I don't know. See, where are the Penn State players from? I assume two or three of them from the Manhattan area, and they'll be motivated to play well. I'm not kidding. They always recruit kids.
I actually think this class, the class that shaped this, that they probably, the FBI is probably going to be knocking on their door soon.
Yeah.
I think they're mostly from the DC area.
Okay. I know they said there was one Catholic school specifically that.
Yeah.
That,
yeah. Yeah.
Has like three players that came there or something. So.
I don't, as to whether we'll see or whether this team was real, of course they were. It's just something happened. Like either it just mental fatigue, or something, but it was just like, they don't look the same at all. And now Vince is out. Vince is questionable against Illinois or Minnesota.
The funny thing is they said, I mean, I've heard different, diagnoses about, well, how long he's out. But one thing I heard is that he's out indefinitely, meaning, you know, they don't know when he's coming back. Is he definitely out, you know, until the tournament? I don't know.
I think he's out. Well, I think he's out the last two regular season games. I think we're going to find that out real soon.
I think he's definitely out Illinois. If it was me, I would hold him out versus Illinois. But would you really hold him out his senior night?
If his ankle's hurting, yeah. It's far more important to have
him. Yeah, but man... Season. I don't know. He was the centerpiece of Painter's second most important recruiting class.
I get it, but are you seriously going to play him?
I don't know if you seriously play him because of Minnesota.
You can dress him and start him and play him for 5 minutes and then take him out, I suppose. But even that, if that happens and he worsens it,
Yeah.
Man.
The ankles are weird, I guess.
I think they dress him and he doesn't play. Yeah, exactly.
Bring him
on like a walk-on. Bring him on with Tommy Luce at the end of the game.
That'd be hilarious. I'd love that.
By the way,
when was the last time Luce got minutes, by the way?
A while ago.
Before Michigan. It's been far too long.
Yeah.
It was probably the Iowa blowout.
That's it.
Oh, God.
They haven't had a blowout since.
It was, in fact, the Iowa 1 minute. In the Iowa blowout, yes.
See, man, I know my stuff. I know my time to lose.
Really?
Well, I mean, it's trivia for 100.
Oh man, it's just like, and yeah, every game has been close since then. Wow.
I went to the bball.notnothing.net Big Ten bracket simulator and plugged in just the last couple games of the season, kind of more or less keeping the standings as they are.
Right.
And in that scenario, if Indiana finishes where they are, which is seventh, and Penn State finishes sixth, then Purdue would probably wind up with Penn State on Friday night, which I guess that would take. Illinois and Minnesota would play. The winner of that would play Penn State, and the winner of that would play Purdue. Indiana would end up playing Wisconsin first, and then have to play Ohio State. So I don't think Purdue would wind up seeing Indiana in that scenario.
Actually, yeah, Wisconsin's a really bad matchup for them. I mean, like with Happ. Really their only player, and I don't know who they have to guard Happ, but
Morgan? Does Morgan have to do it?
Yeah, Morgan will have to do it.
And that's not a good matchup at all.
No. Man. And that's the other thing is that Vince was in the running for Big Ten Player of the Year. He was pretty much a shoo-in for Big Ten first team, all Big Ten first team. Does he get there now? Because of
I don't see him as a shoo-in.
I think the way he was playing, I think he was up. Think about the Big Ten this year.
So right
now. Yeah, that's a good point.
Right now, so I think you can pretty much write it in pen. It's Keita Bates-Diop, Carson Edwards, and Isaac Haas. Mm-hmm. Probably Ethan Happ.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say probably Tony Carr, and then you're picking either Ethan Happ or Vince Edwards, and all of a sudden Vince isn't all Big Ten first team.
You said Happ, yeah. Bridges?
I think Bridges would be up there just because of that shot versus Purdue, and he's played well down the stretch, except for this last malaise that he had in the first half versus Northwestern.
I think I don't know, Jackson. If I had to pick one, I guess Jackson hasn't been like outstanding for
Jackson though is a different. He's like everybody likes to watch him because he shows these flashes amazing plays, right? But he hasn't been consistently good, he hasn't been a guy that you get on his back and then he carries you to victory. You know, Bridges has done that a couple times. You know,
but so. Bridges is he's been playing out of position. He's been their third option, second or third option all year, which is bizarre. You know, maybe it's just the glut of bigs. Maybe it's just they're trying to boost up his NBA stock, but like he's a 3-point shooter now and that's ridiculous. Except against Purdue. But you know, you can only pick five players. I think four of them, I think Carr has now played himself into a semi lock. Three of them are locks. And then you're picking either between Happ or Vince. And it's, you know, life hits you quick. Like it gets real.
Yeah. Well, I don't, I think it's, Purdue hadn't done itself any favors by it's not just not winning. It's the way they've been winning on top of not winning. Right. Because there's been nothing to write home about other than Carson Edwards is damn good. You know, that's really it. That's a great thing to see because one thing, there are a lot of people, it was pretty neat on Twitter, said, hey, maybe I was wrong. Maybe this team will be okay next year. Just watching and Carson and Harms. Yeah.
Klein in the last game as well. Yeah.
But Klein though, the funny thing is we all remember those two big shots. He missed. I know he didn't go to the free throw, but he missed a lot of shots and he made some really horrible plays defensively, like where he was just out of position and gave up easy shots because he literally looks like he doesn't know what he's doing. I know he had like one or two steals where he got in the way where a ball like ricocheted and end up, you know, way in the corner, but he's high if he thinks he's going to become Dakota Mathias.
I see what you did there. I think
a little smoky there.
It's smoky. Yeah. I'm
sorry. I get it.
Yeah, it's a drug joke.
I would be. I think they'll be fine. I think if silver linings from this stretch is no gel. I mean, it starts and ends with Carson and no gel. They've both been really good. Carson's been Carson's been Carson. He's been so good. And no gel looks like he should probably start, like you guys said. Would you guys? And so, just to put a bow in it, you guys would sit Vince for the last two games?
Yes, I would. If you believe what we believe, which is the tournament is more, I mean, what are they playing for right now? I guess they could play for a portion of a, you know, backing into a Big Ten title. They are playing for that, mm-hmm. I guess. Yeah. And you're playing two really, really, really bad teams. You say, hey, guys, you have to pick this up. It's your time to do this. Do this for your teammate. Do this for the future right now. Everybody carries water. Vince, you're sitting, period. There's no way. I mean, the dude was – this sounds like a pretty bad sprain by all indications. It does, yes. You know? So you can't play him. You can't play in the next two games.
No, I agree.
Okay, then. I think you're right. Yeah, you've convinced me. I was on the fence, but no, you've convinced me.
I think there's ways you can. I think there's ways you can make senior night just as meaningful for him. You know, you can literally dress him and have him come out, or have him on his warm ups and come out. It doesn't. I don't know. I don't think it.
He'll be going through the layup line with a crutch.
And when you look at that booty hat on, it did not look. It did not look about the booty. When about no, booty? Like. He was ruled out with a sprained ankle, and we're all like, oh, okay. And then you see him come out in that giant freaking air cast, and you're like, oh my God, it looks like he broke something. So,
yeah.
By the way, it's not going to be Bridges who gets on the All Big Ten squad. I'm going through game by game.
No,
he's had single digit games pretty, he's had a couple recently. So,
I'll take that bet.
Really? You think? See, but you've got Hap already on there.
Loves Michigan State.
I know, but I think your Hap bet is stronger than your Bridges bet there.
Oh no, I think it's a six man. I think it's, you know, you're picking five out of a known six man race, mm-hmm. And I think that, I think the unless Wisconsin is, kind of bottoms out.
The question is, which 11 and 16 Wisconsin, if they bottom out? Oh yeah,
yeah. If yeah, well it. Statistically to the end of the season. That's the other thing is that
like,
can you
score pick, something in the next game?
Can you pick somebody like Ethan Happ on a team that is just so horrific? Like
watch and see. You certainly
can. I know.
If you're a Big Ten media, you surely can. And I guess the question about Bridges really becomes which Purdue guy gets squeezed out for Bridges to make room.
Right.
I think it's Vince. I think it's Vince.
That's crazy.
I know. I don't think it's Haas. I think everybody who doesn't watch every single night, and another silver lining over this stretch is that Purdue's leaned heavily on Haas, and you know, for the most part, he's done everything that he can to deliver. You know
I've
what I mean?
Seen it before.
Nobody else has stepped up around him. So, I don't know. I'd say it's actually Vince at this point. And if he doesn't play the last couple games, they really have a Vince versus Hap. Question. And that's a bummer. This Purdue team should have three first teamers, and you know, if those losses were interspersed, you know what I mean, like a couple games apart, then it wouldn't be as big of a deal. But
not the losses, it's the way they're playing, it's the shooting.
No, absolutely.
I don't care that much that you know, vacuum, as they say, that they lost to Ohio State and Michigan State. I mean, whatever. It's
exactly even by one possession on game-winning baskets too.
They could very, very. I mean, unless something weird happens, they probably should finish 15-3 in a Big Ten. Which I don't care what kind of year the Big Ten's having. That's a great year. It's a great year, and they're number nine. And we're talking about how they've fallen. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, to get it back in perspective, still been a great season.
Yeah.
But
this is funny. I mean, the thing you talked about, was it last week? You said if Purdue dropped to 13th, we'd all go crazy and it would sound like there'd be riots, you know? Well, they're flirting with it right now, right? They really are. I think even playing poorly versus the next two teams, you could fall depending on what happens around you, right? I mean, if teams kind of start to get their rhythm back and Purdue does, you know, wins by 2-1 versus Illinois and Minnesota. I mean, you could drop down to double digits.
I don't know. You'd have to look at North Carolina, Gonzaga, their thing. But it would be tough to see them fall below 10. Like, even with two wins, below.
Just because everybody's still losing?
Yeah, everybody's just putrid. Like, below Clemson, Wichita, Auburn, below Ohio State, Cincinnati. Like, I would have a tough time seeing them. Yeah. Even if they win two, like falling below 10. But yeah, to your point, it's like, yes, this team shouldn't have been maybe this team ends up where we thought they would be before the season, and really getting a top three seed in March is all we wanted. But you know, they gotta look not awful going in, regardless of their seeding. So if the one seed is out, two or three, would you guys be upset with a three as instead of a two, like the path of a three versus the path of a two?
No, I wouldn't. If they're a high three, if they're the number one three and they're close to home and it looks like they don't have to play, you know, a monster in that second round, I could be okay with it. It just kind of depends on what the draw looks like for me. So like that's the thing that Jay, I think, has said for a long time, that it really matters what the teams in that bracket look like. If they get the three and they're the highest three and it's the worst bracket, that would be horrible, right? You know, mm-hmm. if you get one of those brackets where it's like you've got,
Oh, worst as far as most challenging. I think.
Yeah. Sorry. I need to be more.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So like you've got somehow you get Michigan State, Duke, and Kansas in the same bracket or something stupid, right? You're like, what the heck? Right. You know, it just, or, you get, how about this? You get Arizona as some, you know.
But that's a week ago, the prediction when Purdue was still a one when they were sixth in the country. Yeah. I don't know if you remember, that was something like, I want to say it was Purdue, Kansas, North Carolina, Arizona were the top four. Like, whoa, like that's not, I mean, now I want to be the one in that scenario, obviously.
Right.
But you don't want to be, imagine
the two versus the two versus three. I like the two still. I think the two is still,
you get a 15.
Considerably better than a three. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is why right here, Lunardi has Purdue as Xavier's two, which again would destroy the Ramaswamy household. And Butler
in the second round.
Butler is Purdue's seven. So, and Clemson's Purdue's three. Clemson, I don't mind. Clemson's been playing well for Clemson, especially. But
the rest of that bracket, as he's got it mapped out right now, I mean,
Tennessee's the four, Michigan's the five.
Like, I mean, they've played. I mean, they've lost to Tennessee, but I'd love another shot at them, particularly if it meant they knocked out Xavier. I mean, that'd be.
And it's Rick Barnes' team, and they turn into a pumpkin this time of year. So. that's the thing. We can say whatever we want.
Kansas who, on the one line now, not two, not the two.
I know. What did I just tell you at the beginning? I hadn't seen.
I thought
projecting
up to the two. I didn't realize they'd crept all the way to a one. It's ridiculous.
Because they're projecting forward, and they think that Kansas is somehow again going to end up with.
They probably will.
Kansas has lost at home three or four times this year.
I think it's four.
Shouldn't that matter? I mean, it's bad to lose at home. It really
but
is.
They're still going to win the Big 12, which is considered a very good conference. So, I mean,
is it though? This is the thing you got to look at. I mean, there's some good teams in there. There's no doubt. But when you start seeing the teams that look great crumble to nothing, and that's what's happened with a couple of them.
The Big 12 the Big 12 looks like the Big 10 best. In good years, right. Where it is they are just eating each other. Mm-hmm. And so you don't really know how good the entire conference is because they're all pretty much as good as each other, and they all just keep cyclically beating each other.
Kansas has the fourth number four strength of schedule, and their opponent's strength of schedule is five. So, I mean, I think that's the kind of
They've got at Texas Tech, which is going to be tough this Saturday. That'll actually be a fun game. But then Texas and Oklahoma State, like that, those should both be wins for Kansas. So
really, over Shaka Smart? Gosh, that guy.
Yeah, man.
He's a great coach.
He'll get him an order eventually. Don't worry.
Eventually. Or the FBI will, you know.
I like that.
No, I like
showing his team.
I like what you just said. I don't like
but again, these jokes. Nice these jokes can't stop.
No, that's right. They have to they write
feelings. You know, I love Shaka, but you know, jokes is jokes. Uh-huh. I don't know. Kansas winning for the 13th straight year, the conference is stupid. Is dumb. But yeah,
that itself is an indictment of that conference.
Kansas winning, I don't know, or, you know, I don't know. It's tough to do that.
That's, I mean, think about all the great Big Ten conference teams there have been, and there's never been a stranglehold of the conference like that.
Three was amazing.
Yes, exactly.
And that's happened, what, twice? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
what has to happen for Purdue to win the conference, to win a share of the conference?
Michigan State needs to lose at Wisconsin senior night, and Purdue needs to win out.
That's it. Right.
That's it. All.
Purdue wins. Purdue. And then they win a share. And then then Purdue and Michigan
State. They're a game back. They would tie with Michigan State and Ohio State, or unless Ohio State loses
again. Unless Ohio, but the Ohio State's lost to Michigan doesn't hurt. Oh no, they have three losses.
Dropped them to three losses with Purdue. Uh-huh.
So it'd be a three-way. It'd be a three-way tie.
Your favorite kind of thing.
It could be a nice three-way. Yes. Wow. Yeah. So
it's still
Michigan State is. Yeah, but Michigan State's not going to drop to Wisconsin.
It's at Wisconsin.
Ethan Happ senior night.
It could actually. I think it could happen.
And that pudgy kid with the shoulder problem, he could go off to honor Ethan Happ.
I always love descriptors of
shoulder problem.
Yeah, the pudgy kid with the shoulder brace. Yeah,
the one-legged fat kid might.
Exactly. The white kid with the floppy hair. Those guys are. Those are all real players.
Wisconsin, ridiculous.
Can't leave them open. Can't leave them open.
Wisconsin would never allow floppy hair.
No, that is not. That's not like them at all. That's true.
No. You need. You know what Wisconsin players look like. Come on.
You got to have a burr or a flat top.
Exactly.
The law.
Oh, there's a lot of losses on Wisconsin. Greg Gard, what has happened?
That's why let's re-examine why that Purdue loss is so bad. It just kills me.
If that doesn't happen, Purdue is tied with Michigan State.
I did a little quick research while we were talking. Purdue had a 6-point lead at the 6.5-minute mark. Purdue was down by 3 at the 5-minute mark, I think. I think that's right. So they not only did they lose the lead, they lost the lead, and then they didn't get it back. They
gave up like a 9-pointer in like a
ridiculous minute. Ridiculous. And that was against a team that literally couldn't shoot outside about 8 feet.
Yeah.
Work, Purdue.
I think Purdue's offense will recover, but
it's already recovered from that. I mean, that's Stone Age's basketball, and they at least scored, more than, 53 points. That's nice.
I can't get that out of my head. I can't get that performance out of my head.
Same here. It's just possible.
It was the kind of collapse that I thought this Purdue team wasn't capable of. Right.
Here's the fact though, Nish and Jay. Okay, if you have a starting five in which one guy is not a threat to ever score, that's a pretty bad start to an offense, right? In the Big Ten in the modern era, right? Mm-hmm. He is not a threat to score at all.
PJ,
yes. Right? And Mathias during that stretch was not a threat to score either, right?
Mm-hmm. He was hesitating on threes.
He was even like I saw him miss like a 13-footer wide open. I mean, that guy didn't do that, but he was in his own head right then. And then on top of that, Vince Edwards wouldn't even shoot for a couple minutes at a time. So that's a pretty big problem, And so anything's possible. You could have a 40-point game if you're playing like that.
Yeah,
somebody has a really good defender, they could shut down Carson Edwards. I mean, there's only the thing that's great, he is so quick. So even when his jumper's not falling, he gets there. And he's so good at finishing. Like he's like the Steve Smith of college basketball. I think I made that analogy up a couple weeks. I think it's so good because he's built like a truck. He overcomes, bigger, stronger guys, and he just wants the challenge. It's so great. So great to have that guy on your team.
Yeah. Next year's going to be very fun.
Kind of.
I think it's good. It's going to be fun with watching Carson over? Just take over. What'd you say?
Over? Is this year over? You're already looking ahead to next year?
No. National title this year, man.
That's right.
We've still got to plan our San Antonio.
As we wind this down, I'd like to ask, what's your confidence level in this Purdue team heading into the and so let's just skip ahead to the NCAA tournament. Let's assume they're a 3 seed or better.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to how you were feeling, I think it was a week ago, right? He said, which I couldn't believe he said it, isn't the floor for this team now an Elite Eight?
Elite Eight, yeah. He did say
I would be, I'll just go out first here and I will say I would be astonished if this group.
Same here.
Went to an Elite Eight.
Same
I
here.
Think
Same
at this
here.
Point, I would be actually skeptical of them making the second weekend.
Yes, me too.
No, I think
on one game and then they fall on their face in the second round. That's what I think.
I think it's still a sweet 16. Seeing this team go to a Final Four, I can't. You know, like that's like I don't know. Like this no. Wisconsin game, the it's Wisconsin amazing. Game beat right. it out of me. I can't.
2 weeks.
I can't see that game. Yeah,
how it changed. Exactly. It's so
he beat it out of PJ too. I mean, he doesn't believe anymore, and that's the sad thing. And I'm not being sarcastic at all. I think that's the whole deal. That's yeah. it, right? They all believed at one point.
Oh yeah,
anybody, and it didn't matter who was in next in line. We're gonna be next up. We're gonna hit every shot. We're gonna.
They were up.
The offense can be awesome, but
30 at halftime at Iowa. There was a road game in the Big Ten.
They were up by close 30. To that versus Minnesota on the road, weren't they? Were they up by 25 or something?
They won by almost 40. So yeah.
You remember that number for some reason, don't you?
I think
no, it was Minnesota.
I think Sweet 16 is still where I see that. I think I am now recalibrated back to preseason expectations of this team.
What is Rhode Island ranked right now?
As a number 9 team in the country, you're still saying that. Rhode Island is like 18th or something
okay,
like that.
Okay, so here are some teams that terrify me. Rhode Island
looks good.
Terrifies me. West Virginia terrifies me because West Virginia is going to be like a 5. West Virginia is going to be a 5.
No, they'll be lower. Ooh, I think they'll be lower, which is scarier.
Right?
I think West Virginia is a tough one.
How about Oklahoma as a 9?
Oklahoma's going to be higher than that. They'll be better than that. Like 6 or 7.
They're trending. They're trending very poorly.
Unless they continue crapping. Yeah, absolutely.
Sure, it could happen.
How about A&M Oklahoma. As a 6?
A&M's an interesting one.
That's terrifying. It's another A&M's terrifying.
An interesting one. I wouldn't be Oklahoma. Meh. West Virginia.
Arizona is a 5. I mean, these Arizona, are all possible.
Arizona is the one with the way that Ayton is playing right now.
I want no part of them.
Out of his freaking mind. Like number one pick guys. In the NBA draft.
Yeah.
And like I said to you guys, they will be reminded by their coach of what they did against Purdue. And I want no part of that.
I still think sweet. Again, I think now it is my preseason expectations is that I think this is
how about
a
number 9? How about a number 9 Creighton team? Number 19
he's
Creighton.
Still doing seeds.
They matter. They matter because think about that. Creighton was what were they ranked 3 weeks ago? Creighton was in the teens, I think, right? And now they're a bubble team.
If Purdue ends up 2-3, exactly 2-3 is the play. Those are the slots.
You're inoculated from those. Yeah. If you do that, you're not going to face a scary 8-9. You're not going to face the 5. That's why that 2 matters.
I think, and Jay, to what you were saying, yes, it is a disappointment.
You were legitimately like everyone, like all of us. I'm not going to say we weren't like that too, because we were. And I remember at the end of the podcast saying, boy, this is going to look stupid in like a month.
And we all knew it too.
But we couldn't help ourselves because it felt as though there was nothing. Plus, everyone was talking about Purdue as the best team in the country. Odds-on favorite to win the national title, which is...
saying those words, knowing what we know now is like...
But it's the same team.
And it felt... It's the same team. The words were dumb. Yeah, same team.
Same guy.
It's the same team. And so that's, that's...
blow
it's
somebody
a disappointment.
Out. What I said.
Right? Yeah, exactly. This next
someone, and you'll feel so much, and you'll be like, "Oh, we can still do this," and we'll start raining threes again, and then.
But it's like it's
that's
not
almost that like what you did in college, right? That statement is almost like what you did in college. That would make you feel better too, right?
Puke and rally.
No.
I like where Anish took it. No, we'll go there.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
he
yeah,
said blow something out, and
no. We'll go.
I don't think so. That's not what I was thinking of. It'll come back. I've lost it, Jay.
Illinois and Minnesota, you should blow them out.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Come on.
They're very bad. That's the funny thing is you watch Minnesota. The funny thing about watching that team is like even the commentators when they're playing, like I've watched them play a couple times recently, and they're like patting them on the head. Well, that was a really, really great play. Look at that is.
Nice effort. Wow.
Nicely done. Good trying. And you're like, that's a crazy thing because this team was a top 15 team this year. And I know they had a guy get in trouble for raping three different people. I know they had some injuries, and their coach is a horrible human. So it seems like a long time ago, but it's still the same.
You have to be thinking about
they've lost
firing him, right?
Yes, yes, because he's been on. They've been talking about firing him for 2 years too, right?
Well.
No, because we don't like him. Scum. He's lost 12 of them. He's lost 12 out of the last 13.
That is so terrible.
Yes, that's he's done. He's done.
You think so?
I mean,
yes, he's done. And then they're gonna hire another coach that, and I don't know what dirty college basketball coaches look after the FBI probe is officially released. I really don't know what that looks like. I'm guessing that'll look like. Maybe it's going to be the son of another dirty coach. I don't know, you know, because it's like guys learn this stuff. Maybe it'll be.
They'll hire Jeff Capel, or they'll hire.
Yes. A guy that's been buried for a couple of years. Yes. Right. That, you know, he's still filthy, but look, it's been a couple of years. Wash them clean. He's fine now.
You know,
maybe,
what's funny?
The guy from Harvard who got in trouble at the NCAA.
Amaker.
Amaker. There you go. That'll
bring
be great.
It back to the Big Ten.
Yeah, no problem there. He's smart. He's been in the Ivy Leagues, right?
You know, it's really funny that once Capel went back to Duke, all of a sudden Duke started getting five stars and one and does. This is really weird. All of a sudden, you know, yeah, K's recruiting philosophy just kind of flipped. And, you know.
Did you guys see – this is completely non sequitur, but I wanted to bring this up. Did you see Jay Williams make that half-court shot?
A week ago,
in his suit, he was at the college game day, wherever they were, Virginia, I think, and he just steps up and shoots a half court shot and makes it one try and makes it. Mm-hmm. And I saw I heard Billis interviewed on
a great shot.
Well, during the week, and he was talking about it, and he made at least three references to it being impressive because of the tiny little suit.
Right,
he was super and I love tight he said suit. It he always three wears. Different times, like, and really, in that tiny little suit, it was really impressive because he couldn't get his arms above his head in that tiny little suit. And I just love that. That's something we would like. Just keep needling about
that point. Suit.
But it was. I saw him do it. I don't think he unbuttoned his jacket. He just kind of flinged it from his waist.
Williams has kept himself in pretty good shape. I'll say that, man. You can't wear the tight suit like that if you're not in good shape. So. All of my suits are tight, but that's a different reason.
Your pleated cuffed suits, yes.
That's right. Like you were at the last wedding I was at.
Purdue's march to a national championship starts.
Let's say they hammer Illinois and they hammer Minnesota like they should, right? And then they play that first game Friday night of the Big Ten tournament, and it's Penn State. And let's say they pummel them.
With Vince back.
Okay,
now we all start believing again.
Now you start believing because then, and my little generator that I clicked together, I'll kind of leave you with this. So they, and again, this is basically if things fall roughly the way they are right now, you would play Penn State, hopefully win that. Then you'd play most likely Ohio State, which we all agreed like a week ago, I'd love another shot at. I would love to see them.
More than like any of the other teams that were
more than like Michigan, right? So on the other side of the bracket, Michigan will be battling Michigan State probably. And then you get the winner of that, and that's it. So I don't know. I would take that path. I would take it. And I would definitely take a Big Ten tournament championship.
Purdue would be the two or the three in that.
Right now, they'd be the three because Ohio State has the head-to-head. So they're the two.
If they can blow out, Illinois and Minnesota, and PJ Thompson can get double digits in one of those games, Purdue will go to the final eight. How about that?
Just hit a corner three, PJ. That's it. That's all. I used to be surprised whenever any PJ corner three rimmed out. Now I can't remember the last time he's made one.
Right.
Just hitting corner threes. That's really all I need. PJ hitting corner threes, Purdue to have just two safe wins, and then Vince to come back next week. But we'll have a podcast before then. And hopefully between now and Sunday, everything hasn't come crumbling down.
Yeah. Oh, one thing, tonight's podcast was brought to you by martinvintage.com.
The great website. What can you get on that website?
You can get awesome, soft, retro Purdue t-shirts. Heavily discounted. Yeah. If you know the right people.
Do we have the hookup? Do we know the right people?
I do. I mean, I didn't want to. I'll let him in. Okay. If you guys enter Boyle to checkout, you get 20% off.
How do you spell that?
B-O-I-L-E-D.
There you go. That's it. It's really easy. All of this is really easy. Go buy a Purdue t-shirt. Go what are you doing?
Damn it.
You buy Purdue t-shirts.
As soon as you
anyway.
Get off this podcast, buy a shirt.
It's
what
really
have you been waiting on? They're freaking awesome.
Martin.
They're really
it's not that hard.
Yeah, exactly. And while you're at it, rate the podcast. Rate the we've yeah. provided you joy yeah. and
smash
comfort
that like
through
button.
All of this. Smash it with you know redacted. And yeah, just hit the like button. Some 5 stars. That's what people do, right? 5 stars.
Yeah. Yeah.
And subscribe, steal phones.
Before you know it, Justin's gonna be rich.
Before yeah.
Oh wait. It already happened.
Yesterday. It was
somebody's
already,
gotta do it. If Hank's not here, somebody's gotta do it. And nobody knows who Hank is but me, and that's okay.
Hank is your little imaginary friend. It's mm-hmm. fine. It's fine.
I love you guys. Good night.